Welcome to the Portage County Safety Council podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's safety chat.
Hi, this is Nick Coya with Portage County Safety Council, and I'm accompanied by Carrie Gray from the Bureau of Workers' Compensation.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Doing good. How are you today?
I'm great. Glad to be here.
We're at the Portage County Safety Expo, and Carrie just got done giving a great presentation on walking working surfaces. We thought this would be an opportunity to discuss some of those changes that are taking place.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
So can you tell me a little bit first, though, what do you do for the Bureau of Workers' Compensation?
Well, with the Bureau, I am a safety consultant. I work with all different kinds of employers, helping them improve their safety programs and prevent injuries.
That's great. So it's a great service that's out there for our members or any employer here in Ohio. Give a call if you need some help. So when it comes to this new walking working surfaces, it's a pretty big change. We call it new because it's new to OSHA. It's back in 2017. But what would you say are the top three changes that employers should be aware of?
So with this newer standard, there are some pretty big changes. The first one being there is a big shift towards behaviors and focusing on behavior and not just conditions. Conditions are still included in there, but it's a little more focus on behaviors. There's also some big changes with fixed ladders and safety dealing with those. And finally, in Ohio, this really impacts us, but they included snow and ice in some of the definitions, so something to be aware of.
So as we look at these big changes that are happening, and specifically these top three, you mentioned that there's a change, that there's a focus on behavior-based. And we know that many injuries are a condition of behavior, not just a conditions in the plant. So how is OSHA addressing that? And what should the employers be aware of specifically related to walking working surfaces?
So one of the things traditionally in walking working surfaces is OSHA focused on the conditions. They focused on making sure the ladder was built properly, making sure that it was set up properly in some situations, that you had fall protection and fall prevention in different situations. And this newer standard went more towards things like including training. And training wasn't being done in the past, or at least being required in the past. And so making sure that training is included and people can understand that training, there's more focus on actual proper use of ladders, how to ascend and descend them, to make sure you're using 3 points of contact and to not carry things. Those have always been good practices, but never included in the regulation. Third thing about that with the shift towards behaviors is the inclusion of inspections. And so it was always a given that you had to inspect your ladders and your fall rest equipment. But in this standard, OSHA got more specific about requiring pre-use each shift of inspections. And so that's one of the big changes with that.
So it seems like OSHA's having a more of a focus on behavior-based. This happened back with the hazard communication standard, where they changed it from training to adequate training. And they really want employees to understand the safety and be able to apply it in a real-world setting. It seems the focus now.
Absolutely. So many of the injuries come from the behaviors and the choices that employees make. And it's pushing the employers to make sure that their employees are making the right choices. They train them properly. They have the right procedures. And this standard just falls right in line with that.
So training is going to change a little bit. It's not going to be the old, let's throw in a VHS tape and walk away. We're going to have to get some more practical experience when it comes to these standards.
Exactly. And in this standard in particular, when it talks about retraining, it talks about, you know, when you notice that employees aren't doing things properly, or when you have big changes in your equipment or your environment, those are the times you have to make sure that you're training them. And it talks about employees understanding the training. And so they have to be able to show and demonstrate that they can understand that training. There's a lot of leeway on what that looks like, but they want you to make sure your employees are understanding your training.
So there's some ownership to leadership at this point too, to really be more observant of what's happening and reactive to that on the floor.
Absolutely. It goes beyond the training. It goes to what they're doing exactly on the floor.
So the second big top change that you identified was the fixed ladders. How is that changing and what does that mean for our employers?
So with fixed ladders, what they did is they said what you have in place right now with a cage or a well on your fixed ladder is okay. However, by the year 2036, they're going to expect you to have personal fall arrest systems. And so what that is a system on the ladder itself that would prevent your employees from falling. Traditionally, we have a cage, and the cage is just meant for resting purposes, whereas this is a harness, that a full body harness that an employee would put on. It connects from the front of the harness to the ladder itself through either a rope or some sort of line descent system. And it's going to help employees if they were to slip off a step to keep from falling to the bottom. So if you have an existing ladder, fixed ladder right now, and this is the fixed ladders that are attached to the buildings, if you have those right now, you have until 2036 to make this change. But if you were to put in a new fixed ladder after this November 2018, then you have to put that into it just as part of the installation. So you're not going to be able to put in old antiquated type systems.
And honestly, I think this is a good change. The ladder systems before at the cages were not really designed to protect you. It was just a resting point, you know, and one of the companies that I worked with was a local fire department, and they actually had a firefighter on their way down and got their air pack stuck.
Yeah.
So they had to scale the side of it, and it became a bigger safety issue for those firefighters at that point. So I think it's a change that was needed within the industry, and hopefully it will work out well for everyone.
Yeah, I completely agree. Much needed.
And the last one, and this stuck out to me right away when I first did a quick overview of the changes. Being here in Ohio, it's one of those things we see from workers' comp, a lot of injuries, slips, trips, and falls, especially in the wintertime, is snow and ice. And now OSHA's addressing snow and ice. So what does this mean?
Absolutely. So same thing with me. When I read the standard, the snow and ice popped right out at me. And being in Ohio, we deal with this, it seems like, through most of the year, but it's only part of the year. So what happens is within the standard, the beginning of the standard includes housekeeping. And with housekeeping, it says, you know, you have to keep a clean, neat, sanitary, orderly workplace. And this is where OSHA has the ability to cite folks dealing with housekeeping. But in addition to that, right below that part of the standard, they said you have to know and recognize and reduce existing and recognized hazards dealing with slip, trip, and falls, like protruding surfaces or uneven surfaces or the dreaded snow and ice. So in Ohio, it means a little more than just those few times a year, or hopefully a few times a year, that the snow and ice are falling, because we deal with the potholes and the expansion and the tore up sidewalks and the tore up parking lots afterwards. So we're seeing that as a recognized hazard too. So this is putting some ownership on employers to make sure that they're maintaining their parking lots and their walkways in and out of the building to make sure that employees don't trip and fall, whether there's snow and ice or whether it's a different time of the year. And those would be something that would be a compensable workers' comp claim. And now it's something that's fallen under OSHA's jurisdiction as well.
So really, you know, it is summertime. We're all enjoying that warm sun out there, but we know snow and ice is around the corner, and developing a true snow control plan is going to be essential for companies going forward. They're really going to have to develop some type of plan of action, how they're going to deal with that. And then the springtime pothole cleanup, we're going to have to deal with that also as that comes around.
Yep, it's going to follow through the whole year. You're going to want to, honestly, I would suggest folks put a policy in place of who's going to deal with that cleanup and what that's going to look like, and who's going to be in charge of maintaining. You know, we get snow or ice and it happens really quick, and that's when folks are going to be leaving or walking out of the building. So we want to make sure that we're managing that, whether we're doing it internally or using somebody externally, we need to have a program around it.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today about these walking working surfaces. There's many other changes. If we want to find out more about this, where can we go?
Well, there's some really good resources through the Bureau of Workers' Comp. We have a good website. We have a lot of information. We teach a lot of classes in all of our different offices throughout the state. And finally, we have a new focus on employee safety and safety just for everybody in Ohio. We're running a campaign right now called BeSafeOhio.com, and we're focusing on slip, trips, and falls, just like we talked about here. We're focusing on driving safety and overexertion claims. So BeSafeOhio.com would be a place to get a lot of information about falls and the other concerns we're talking about.
Once again, thank you so much for coming and speaking with us today at the Expo and here on the podcast. We look forward to speaking with you again. And everyone, be safe.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. To learn more about how your company can earn up to a 4% Ohio BWC premium rebate by becoming an active member of the Portage County Safety Council, please visit our website at www.portagecountysafetycouncil.wordpress.com. The preceding information is for entertainment purposes only. Views expressed may not reflect the views of any affiliated or sponsoring individuals or organizations. Listeners should carefully weigh information provided and seek advice from an appropriate professional before implementing. Listener discretion is advised.